The following program may contain content not suitable for all audiences.
I think you smoke too much, drink too much coffee, and eat too much sugar.
It helps ease the tension.
Oh, I can get rid of that. Massage is one of my hobbies.
That's it. Now just relax and let the tension flow.
Listen, pal. Touching me is not a great idea.
There was some high-dollar Foley work in there with the hands and the gun. The works.
Professionals!
The Foley workers were definitely the heroes of the sketch.
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory and a presentation of Prismatic Tsunami. My name is Eric. Thank you very much for joining us for our... we actually made it almost over a year now, I think, since we actually started.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've
Has
made
it... really been?
Yeah, we made it more than 40 episodes because this was originally going to be a weekly thing, and it didn't. But it is now, so we're doing good, except we're skipping next week's, now that I bring it up. None of that's important right now. Let's go ahead and talk about the show we're going to do today. Once again, if you would like to be part of the program, like to let us know anything you'd like us to, any show you'd like us to talk about, any movie you want to send or any recommendations, feedback@prismatictsunami.com is the best way to do that. Go ahead and drop us a line. That's feedback@prismatictsunami.com. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the panel. He's got your bigger guns right here. It's Richard.
My feet are wet.
Understandable. She may be a psychotic with a psychopathic personality. It's the best name, Vanessa.
And who knows? Right. Maybe I'll have a million hobbies.
That's true. He saw a rat, so he shot it. It's Jason.
They don't wear galoshes.
Finally, are you telling me there's something running around loose in the city, ripping off people's hearts and eating them so he can take their soul back to hell? It's the kid.
You realize you said, let's go ahead and talk about the movie we're going to do, and then immediately didn't, right?
Give me some slack. Cut me some slack, Jack. No, I don't know. What's appropriate to 1992? I don't fucking remember. This is going to be an R-rated show.
Because Rutger fucking Howard is in it?
Did I say
Howard?
I said Howard.
I didn't mean the duck.
You did. It's the wrong Howard.
Howard.
It could be. But mostly
he was
just
in, sorry
because it's an R-rated movie, and that's our credo. So
if it's an R-rated movie, it's an R-rated podcast. So it's splin fucking differous movies.
Well, it's that thing, and you have to do that because we can't afford the Mario coins otherwise.
Those things are expensive.
It adds up.
Cha-ching.
I'm going to have to put a disclaimer at the start of this movie, at the start of the show now, aren't I? Because we already started into it hard and heavy without giving them any kind of time to go, you know, maybe I don't want to fucking listen to this. Okay.
If there is anyone who's actually listening to this who stops listening because of profanity, then...
They didn't see the movie.
I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about their kids. Oh, yeah. Why are they listening?
Exactly.
They have kids?
Why are their kids listening to an episode of Expo Street?
About an R-rated place? Movie. That
about
would be bothered by language.
About an R-rated movie from
Fine.
The 1990s.
If you don't like them...
Would you be worried about your kids?
What are you trying to say?
If you don't like the swearing, the TLDR is don't watch the movie.
Yes.
Personally, I think...
We haven't even rated it yet.
Good call. You know, personally,
but the swearing, yes,
I don't have a problem with kids and swearing. I think they're hilarious when you put them together. See, A Split Second. That's the movie we're doing today. Came out May 1st, 1992. I was in high school at the time.
I was 12.
Went all the way to number 4 at the box office with $2.2 million its opening weekend. Rated R, runtime of 1 hour and 30 minutes. It actually was behind. It opened at number 4. And was beat not in their first weeks, but by in their 5th, 6th, and 7th weeks, respectively. Beethoven,
the dog movie.
Yes,
that's what I was about to say.
Above that was White Men Can't Jump, and then the top was Basic Instinct in the 7th week.
Well, yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah, didn't have a chance. To be fair, though, I looked this up because I was curious why I never even heard of this movie at the time that it came out, because it was a video, darling, later. It's a cult movie. It came out during the LA riots.
Oh, bad timing.
Yeah, just, you know, nobody was watching anything at the movies because that wasn't what was going on in the world right then, especially in Los Angeles, I might add, where a large portion of the take in the U.S. happens.
Right.
So, in a flooded future London, hence the feet wet thing, Detective Harley Stone hunts a serial killer who murdered his partner and has haunted him ever since. He soon discovers what he is hunting might not be Who-Man, which It's funny they put that in the description in case, you know, you wanted to find out what the movie's about at all prior to this. Any inkling of that last part kind of ruins what little bit of a twist there is, right?
Yeah, it's on the poster.
And it's on the poster! Worst marketing ever.
See, I don't even remember. Did I look at the poster before seeing this one?
I didn't.
We didn't.
I don't think I did.
We didn't talk about it, so.
No, yeah.
I have a weird spoiler thing, and posters ruin it.
That's true, you do. Yeah.
Although, worst marketing would be John Carter.
Richard likes to go into a movie absolutely blind. He doesn't want to know anything about it. Why are you interested in the movie if you know nothing?
Good question.
That's an interesting point.
Once I'm interested, I can learn nothing else about it.
That's fair. So there has to be some kind of hook set.
Usually it's the title.
Okay.
Split Second wasn't it.
Go figure, right?
I can't imagine why.
It wasn't the original title that they had for this. I think
there were several of them.
The working title originally was for a movie they called Pentagram. You know,
which would have also completely ruined this ending.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a good name in it.
There wasn't a pentagram in it.
Right. Other names for the movie included Killer Instinct.
It had a weird symbol.
And but it wasn't a pentagram. Detective Stone.
I mean, they could have just titled it, Please Help Us Pay Our Bills.
Detective Stone would have been good. It wouldn't have said anything. It wouldn't even hint at the tone of the movie.
Split Second didn't hint at the tone
of the
movie. I think
Harley Stone would have been even better.
I think they should have made this a comedy. So it's directed by...
it wasn't?
I love you guys.
No comment.
Directed by Tony Malam. He's done mostly documentaries. So we haven't seen anything else he's ever done. You do watch a lot of documentaries. You may, but I mean, we're talking mostly in the 80s, so I don't know.
I'm okay with that.
The fact that we've never seen anything else from him, that explains so much.
Yeah. Yes.
I had never seen anything by him until you made me watch this movie.
Written by Gary Scott Thompson, I made you watch. Oh, man, I will never be able to get away from that. Written by Gary
You're
Scott.
You're in charge. It's your fault.
Yeah. I wondered why nobody else actually brings movies to me much and says, hey, let's do this. I mean, occasionally. But by and large, people just wait for me to come up with a list so that they can blame me when their lives are ruined.
Yep.
It's all your fault.
I did put Explorers forward, so I will take credit for that in 3 weeks.
Yeah, we'll do that here soon. Good call. Let's see. Written by Gary Scott Thompson. Primarily, he's responsible for writing for most of the Fast and Furious franchise. So,
okay. That also explains a lot.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I do.
And music by Francis Haynes and Stephen W. Parsons, who have done nothing I recognize at all. So.
They didn't even do the music for this. It was Knights in White Satin.
Mostly it was the Moody Blues. Yeah.
The
Moody Blues did the music for this.
Which made the music one of the best things about this movie.
I saw a list of the soundtrack. It actually had Knights in White Satin listed, which they didn't do the words for that I saw. And it had the last song that they played at the end of the movie.
Yeah, there were two songs in this movie.
Those were the two songs.
You know, what's even better is in the credits, if you look at it, it says Knights in White Satin, but it's spelled it Knights, K-N-I-G-T-S.
That was what I always used to think it was supposed to be.
Yeah, that's not what it is. So there you go. And starring Mr. Rutger Hauer. Now, to be fair... I don't think Vanessa was here when I was having this conversation. I was telling everybody else that I don't ever look at reviews when I'm setting up getting notes together for the shows. I try to avoid reviews because I don't want anybody else's opinions obviously coloring mine. But I happened to slide by one scrolling up the screen that caught my attention because of like something the way it was written on the first line or something before I realized what it was. And it was obviously a commentary on somebody else's review or reviews prior to that because it started with, I don't understand what kind of epic movie you guys were expecting. It's a Rutger Hauer film. There's something to that. You could replace that with like Bruce Campbell or, you know.
Oh my.
There's certain stars that never really had a star rising for them. You know what I mean?
But he did Blade Runner.
And they marketed on that heavily.
Yes, because it was a successful sci-fi flick thriller that he had done about 10 years prior to this.
That's the other thing that makes the marketing horrible is because they marketed it as Blade Runner meets Alien.
Interesting choice. Is that because of the kind of the xenomorphish kind of look? I could see that.
And the fact that it wasn't a human bad guy. And
so wait, it's
that's
not
a terrible
supposed to be
marketing.
Venom?
It is.
Because it looked a lot to me like Venom.
I didn't get the visor. Did anyone?
I'm like, did Eric just talk me into watching a Venom movie?
It did look a lot like Venom. I will give you credit for that.
Once you said it, I couldn't unsee it.
I still can't see it to begin with, but I might just not have a bunch of exposure to Venom.
I don't have any exposure. I have no interest in watching it. That's why I'm thrown off. I'm like, did I just end up having to watch a movie?
You know, Venom was
good.
Yeah. I don't. Really,
Venom,
I
Let
don't,
There Be Carnage was better.
Shh. I don't much care for that universe, and it's going to be a dark story, and I'm not going to like it.
Yeah. It was definitely dark. I really feel like this movie, I mean, missing the mark all over the place, notwithstanding. It wasn't that it wasn't unique. It really banked on a lot of other ideas and tropes that you could draw from a lot of places. But when I remember what I liked about the movie when I was younger was that it didn't feel like it was rehashing. Now, to be fair, it doesn't hash much. The story is pretty non-complicated. And
it's dark buddy cop.
Yeah, really, really is. And with that twist of irony kind of built into every level of that, right?
Yeah.
It's Blade Runner meets Lethal Weapon before Lethal Weapon came out.
And I think part of the thing that maybe makes that feel the way as kind of awkwardly settled on that as it is because I don't think when they were filming this movie that they had decided that it was non-human until partway through filming.
And you can tell.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't. I mean, there's scenes and sequences, things that just don't seem to make much sense.
Oh, you caught that, did you?
Well, you know.
I mean, the first half of the movie was one movie, and the second half of the movie was something completely different.
Well, you
yeah.
Where I almost want to watch it again, just because I went into it. Mind you, I don't, you know, I try not to pay too much attention before I watch a movie. So I heard London and I heard serial killing. So the first thing I think is like, well, maybe this is an interesting twist on a futuristic version of a Jack Ripper movie. I'm like, I could deal with that. Then I'm like, oh, no, it's a werewolf movie. Oh, no, it's this.
Let me go ahead and roll through the actors here just to kind of knock it out. Rutger Hauer played Harley Stone. This was the same year that Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out. He played the villain in the Buffy movie.
That puts things into a very different perspective.
A couple years after Blind Fury, because it came out in 89.
Oh.
You know, but everything that we really know Rutger Hauer from at all was all before this, you know, for the most part. I mean, obviously.
Everything that I've seen him in was after this.
Obviously, yeah. And and you may be able to regale me what those things are, because I can picture it in an older Rutger Hauer doing stuff in my head, but I can't think of what they are.
The two main ones that I can think of are he was the Huntsman in the Tenth Kingdom, and he was an old fairy in True Blood.
I knew he was in True Blood. I forgot about that. I never have watched all the series. So
he's late in the series. Yeah.
That doesn't sound very woke.
He wasn't that kind of fairy.
I don't think True Blood was actually making any claims to wokeness, to be honest, at the time.
I think it's very much a song.
He was magical fairy.
Oh, okay.
He's magical fairy.
Maybe not the butt sex with Tom Cruise kind of fairy.
Oh, God. And you went there.
And I'm the one that's been watching Judy Tootin. I always say her name wrong.
Tenuta.
I love her.
I'm going to go ahead and take a break there so I can edit that cleanly.
Right.
It was good, though. But Lady Hawk, Blade Runner, Blind Fury, the one with the collars, the prisoners who had the collars, Deathlock or something like that, or whatever it's called. I mean, all that stuff was before this, I think. So
right,
he was not a twilight of his career or anything, just not really that big a name. And he always had a similar deliberately a lot of the stuff he did. He had a similar kind of sense of presence to him. But I think one of the things I kind of liked about Harley Stone is that it wasn't typical Rutger Hauer. He was playing on that because it was like cranking him up. It's like, let's take typical Rutger Hauer and put him on amphetamines.
That explains the movie I saw pretty well.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that works.
Oh, yeah. Rutger Hauer was also in Gallivant.
He was. He was. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, he was.
And my entire day just got changed simply because someone referenced Gallivant.
It happens. It happens a lot with this group. Kim Cattrall, who was somebody I really had a crush on at this point. She played Michelle McClain in this. This was like the year after after Star Trek VI came out. And she played Lieutenant Valeris in Star Trek VI. It turned out to kind of be the Vulcan who was kind of the bad guy aboard the ship.
I thought that was Kirstie Alley.
No, you're thinking much earlier. that's Wrath of Khan.
Completely different Vulcan.
That was Star Trek II. This was VI.
That was Lieutenant Savick.
Savick, yeah. The first Savick, because there were two ladies that played Savick.
Yes.
But yeah, Valeris, and then she had the same hair. She hadn't changed her hairdo since, there's a good chance they were filming it at about the same time. Yeah, not that this took much. This had like 8 weeks of filming. It was, only cost them $7 million to make this movie.
And she's most only of it in was like the water 5 minutes.
And, but
the water, yes.
They were a good 5 minutes. I don't know. There was nothing I could catch from her that was interesting, so I don't have any of the clips. And it's, you know,
she doesn't say anything interesting.
All I remember was her boobs.
He bit me.
Yeah, the bit me thing. Yeah, maybe. I didn't
Can
catch
you take
it.
A break?
Oh gosh. It was so bad.
The same thing you're doing. I do it every time I visit LA.
And our other primary character was
London.
London. It was Alistair Duncan, played Detective Dick Durkin. And
NBC.
He used to go in Neil Duncan when he was younger, but he's done a bunch of TV roles over the years, a lot of voice acting. Haven't seen him in much. If you look at a picture of him now, it's actually kind of hard to see the guy that we just watched.
It's kind of hard to see the guy that we just watched in the movie we just watched.
That's true.
Lighting and cinematography were not grade A on this film.
The atmosphere, the production design, cinematography film, they were a big influence on David Fincher's vision for Seven when he was putting that together.
That came from this movie.
Not
going to
say it.
Really?
I think it was also a big influence on E. Carl and his DMing style with the lack of sun.
Not sure what you're trying to say.
Yeah, there was sun in this
movie. We call that cyberpunk with a chance of rain. It's a lovely trope. Look it up. in this case, future London is so bad that a good chunk of it is long since flooded. You've never seen
environmental.
You don't see the sun up the entire movie until the end credits.
Climate change and environmental.
My God, that was my favorite.
Environmentalism
scene.
Was the entire backdrop for this movie. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it said the sun was only up an hour or so a day. Was only visible an hour or so a day.
That's fair.
But yeah, I love the fact that this is like this future flooded London. You could tell that they told whoever was in charge of the water, it's like, hey, we want to have something Waterworld-esque, but we don't want to go over budget. Oh, so you get an inch of water. Got it.
Everywhere. Yes.
But horrible. The opening scenes to it, they go over the Thames River. They show the floodgates wide open, so it's not preventing any ocean flooding from coming into the city. The water levels are at normal level in the Thames. It's just showing a lot of water. Because
right,
if you know what London looks like.
Ton of flooding there, right.
That is not flooded. And I'm like, I get that they didn't want to do, and this was before the big computer graphic phase, but wow.
They could have at least made a model of London.
At that point, if they just put a blue filter on it to make it look bluer, to pretend like there was extra water, I would have been like, okay, I'm good.
just close your eyes. Just squint. Squint really hard.
Squint and tilt your head just straight.
I find the best way to watch this movie is with a blindfold on completely. So,
Michael,
at that point, you're just listening.
You would still hear the script at that point.
Well, that's where the headphones come in, Vanessa.
A few honorable mentions, I think. Michael J. Pollard was in it, of course. The Rat Catcher.
He was one of the characters I liked.
Curious. I like him.
I saw I've seen this guy somewhere before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. He was Andy and Roxanne. He was Owen in Tango and Cash. Owen. Bug Bailey and Dick Tracy. He was Herman in Scrooged.
Mm-hmm. I saw his name and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know him. I like him.
Yeah, he's, always the same. Always the same kind of, delivery and shit. I mean, that was his thing.
That was his thing, yeah.
Pete Postlethwaite.
That's who my vote for MVC is.
He was an ass in this.
He was an ass, but he was a catalyst.
He played Paulson. We know him from like Alien 3, from Dragonheart, where he played the monk that was trying to write the poet, the verses the whole time.
Oh, he was the monk.
He was in. He was. I loved the fact that in Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, in The Lost World, he was the hunter who was like the super experienced big game hunter type one in that one, separate from the guy that was in the first one because their mission was to try to capture the dinosaurs and save them and stuff, or, whatever they were supposedly doing.
And you skipped my favorite role of his.
Oh, what's that?
Usual Suspects.
And The Usual Suspects, which...
He played Kobayashi.
Yes, he did. And it was a really good performance. Usual Suspects is a hard movie to talk about without talking about it, though.
And yeah, but you can mention that it exists and go, sure. He played Kobayashi.
He did. Good call. Good catch. And Tony Steedman, who I always like seeing. He played Pat O'Donnell. He was the weapons cage guy. So my favorite role of his was, he was also in Scrooge, by the way. He was the head waiter. You know, and he was like, he corrects what he said. He was, they or them or whatever. So I don't remember now, but.
I really hope that's still around come Christmas time. I want to do that movie so
bad. Yeah, we need to. I mean, we probably just need to make an issue of doing it sometime early so we can catch it. Or just bite the bullet and rent it if we got to. It's because we wanted to do it last year and it disappeared on us. And of course, Pat O'Donnell was Socrates in Bill and Ted. We actually already had him on the show, which is kind of cool. Socrates.
So he's
you may remember Socrates.
He is Socrates. An alumnus of Exposition Street. Yep, we should send him a letter and he should know that he's been on two episodes.
If we send him a letter, we'd have to send
Willem Dafoe
a lot of letters. Actually, I already do. I've been asked to stop.
He might actually read it.
As long as you read it dramatically. Let's see. $7 million budget, $2.2 million opening weekend, only made $5.4 million. Gross U.S., worldwide, whatever. I don't think it played anywhere else. And
you're telling me they lost money?
They lost money on this movie. Yep, they absolutely did. No, in the video market, I think it did well. That's where I saw it. And on cable and stuff, obviously. But it did not do well.
I wonder if any of the executives are slapping themselves going, I knew it. We did too much water.
Thus, second split second was never born.
Another second. One note I thought was really interesting, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned this because it was really, I think, kind of hit it on the head. The so bad it's good kind of trope. If you gave a hyperactive 10-year-old boy $7 million and a case of Mountain Dew, this is exactly the movie he'd make. Strikes the perfect balance between breathtakingly stupid and cool as hell. Pop it in, fix some daiquiris, have a ball. That was the line. I loved it.
Yeah, if I'd been drinking more while watching this, I probably would have liked it more.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, split second.
Also possible.
I don't drink.
What do we want to talk about?
So rats.
Rats.
Rats make
there
me
were
crazy.
So many rats in this movie.
Because they were cheap, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think it was like the same six rats that they just kept recycling through scenes.
Well, it's where you would normally wouldn't see rats, but all the normal rat hiding places were filled with water, so the rats were constantly out and about.
But why weren't they flooding out? I mean, the water was higher than they were.
Rats can swim.
Because they can go to other places and they can swim and they can hold their breath for quite a while. If you've ever had a rat come up through your toilet, you'd know that.
I haven't.
What?
They even had a rat that breathes underwater in the abyss.
Don't make me relive that scene. That was terrifying. That poor little thing.
Not water.
I used to have pet rats. That scene was traumatizing.
Oh, I did too, and I miss him. He was such a sweetie. He was so smart. Anyways.
But yeah, first half of the movie, completely different than the second half of the movie.
Film takes place in 2008, by the way.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad 2008 didn't turn out that way.
Really? Because the water levels look just the same in London in 2008 as they did in that film.
Oh, they didn't.
I don't think this film was actually shot in London. I could be wrong.
I don't think it was shot anywhere.
I mean, it had to have. It existed. We weren't on like some shared trip.
I will say when I went through the progression from Jack the Ripper to, oh, I guess it's just a werewolf movie to, oh, it's this. The werewolf movie was like, except the werewolf comes out in the new moon.
Right.
It was a high tide connection.
Anti-werewolf?
I thought the astrology thing was a little weird.
Forced.
You thought that
was weird. Oh, my God. So forced. At least they got the symbols right.
I couldn't think of what kind of purpose they were trying to put in the script. But it's one of those things that makes me feel like the script was being like transmogrified halfway through.
Have any of you seen those things where people have AIs making scripts now?
Okay, they are
that was
hilarious.
Very much the vibe I got from this because
it is
completely random things just get interjected into the story at odd points in time and then completely ignored or forgotten.
And they contradict themselves.
And yes.
There is a thing about this film plot that reminds me of weird dog pictures in country scenes.
There was absolutely no pattern.
A Google painter thing.
He comes out, he kills. There's no similarity to the victims. There's no pattern in the killings. But as soon as they put it on a map, it's a circle, a triangle, and the Scorpio sign.
Now, my favorite this could have been the plot was when I thought maybe it was his former partner still doing it.
Who had become a werewolf, right?
Yeah, yes.
Who was trying to torture him for sleeping with his wife.
Yeah, a revenge story. Yeah, all wrapped up in one.
But the wounds on this guy, the scars that were left behind that we got to see due to the gratuitous hospital gowns cut out so that you could explicitly see the wound, which I've never seen a hospital gown that doesn't cover the part that needs sanitizing.
Have you ever been to a hospital in 2008 flooded London?
No, I haven't, and I never will, because that future didn't happen. Thank God.
Thankfully, the NHS can afford better gowns, yes.
But just the wounds on this guy should have told them this was not a human from a long time ago.
And yet.
Obviously, some kind of knives or something, right? Whatever. Wow. It was pretty intense looking.
And then that bite mold.
And the bite mold. And
oh, my God.
I could never even get a good look at the bite mold. I couldn't even tell what it was supposed to be.
The teeth were 6 inches fucking long.
Yeah. You can't get that from...
Oh, anyway.
No, you can't.
Yeah, that was part of another problem. From the curvature... From the outside of a whole lot of liquidy, squishy tissue. They might have been able to get a mold if they had poured plaster of Paris down her wound holes.
Maybe he froze the heart before he bit it because he delivered it cold.
It was on ice, yes.
How do you like the fact that he... Now, why did he do...
How does an 8 foot tall... 10 foot tall alien monster with a visor for a face and jaws like Jaws... Wheel a cart with a freaking igloo thermos thing into the police station and not...
In his defense.
Pick and choose split second magic.
Right. Yeah. I will tell you that if you are planning on absorbing DNA from things, you do not want to freeze the body parts because it destroys the DNA.
Oh, I didn't think of that, man.
And if it's absorbing the DNA from different things, maybe it can take different forms. And that's just one of the many superpowers they didn't mention in the movie.
Which they never indicate.
Ooh, yeah. Split second two. Electric boogaloo.
That's the stuff from the early part of the movie that really stands out too. The whole thing, like this, what they weren't thinking alien at the time.
No.
Like showing like the view where he's walking through the club, which doesn't look like you're looking from a 10 foot tall view either. Right. By the way.
Exactly.
You know, or like when he's in the police station, something's going by.
But I think at that point, the script might have still said it was a human.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I thought it was but I already thought it was a werewolf. So I thought it was a werewolf that converted. Human.
Okay, and it really wanted to use an assault shotgun too.
We get to the scene where it steals the shotgun by slicing open the trunk. So we already know it has the slicey hands, but you can't use a shotgun with slicey hands. So how do the
slicey hands?
That doesn't work.
So like
slicey hands.
Long claws. Gotcha. I'm here.
Long claws.
Sorry, I had to figure out what slicey hands meant before.
All right, we're really bagging on a bat here.
Sorry.
I do like this stuff. I do like this part. This thing that they kept doing.
I can hear your heartbeat. I'll find you. I'll find you.
I love the heartbeat thing.
I did like the heartbeat, and I liked the callback to it when the partner started hearing the heartbeat.
And yes. I would have liked it better if they had managed to be consistent with it.
It wasn't supposed to be.
No, because he hears that when he's talking to the dick outside his apartment, and then they leave.
Not the dick, detective. Just talking to dick.
He's also a dick. He's detective.
Detective Dick is a dick. Dick, that's, dick is okay. The dick.
Fair enough. I'm here now.
This movie had way too many dicks.
That is a problem
landing
with
on my forehead.
Many movies.
They leave, even though he hears the heartbeat and knows that his girl is up in the apartment.
Right.
And then they figure out, oh my God, he's in the apartment, because they get a notice over from dispatch that there's an intruder at his address, which who reported that? Anyways, doesn't matter.
No, yeah.
So they rush back and still get there before the guy who was like, oh my God.
Wait, that's because someone else got attacked in the apartment building. I will apologize for this. He had to chase after the partner, which is what got him away,
I'll accept that. No, this is when they left together. They were both together. Because he heard the heartbeat outside while he was talking to the dick, and then they both got up and left, even though he heard the heartbeat, which means he should know that the thing is there at his apartment where the girl
unless
is.
Unless he can hear the heartbeat all the time.
Right, no. Odd times and hasn't figured it out. He specifically means he's right there.
But that's why I'm saying it was terribly inconsistent, because the general gist you get throughout the movie is that he can only hear the thing when it's close, except for the one time that the heartbeat stops right before the thing attacks. Did its heart stop beating? Did the connection break? Was there interference on the line? What happened with that?
He's a psychic. Have you met a psychic that's consistent?
Well, when you put it like that, other than Miss Cleo, no.
Exactly.
Miss Cleo was never wrong. The lawsuit said so.
She was incredibly consistent.
That's one way to put it.
Consistent enough that she could run a business.
Let's talk about Stone, shall we?
What happened to him?
Harley?
A serial killer murdered his partner, Foster, 3 years ago. He was there when it happened.
Survivor's guilt.
Nah, just plain guilt. Had an affair with Foster's wife. Left her. Hit the booze. Went over the edge. Now he lives on anxiety, coffee, and chocolate.
If you ask me, he's nuts.
That's what the doctors say. Here, read the file. He's worked in every hellhole in the world and been fired from all of them.
They say he's the best.
He is.
Yeah, I just got to do some character establishing stuff right off the top. Everything in like 1 30-second clip that you need to know about the guy, period.
That was exposition street.
That was exposition.
I find it horribly amusing that they describe it as a hellhole and the thing turns out to be like some representation of Satan.
Right.
Apropos.
I was really amused by that. Like far more than it needed to be.
Yeah. And
of course, I love how, you know, they have to dump all the tropes into one big expo.
Pretty much.
You know, guilt-ridden because he cheated on his partner who then got eaten.
I think he had an
affair with his partner's wife.
But it didn't specify the course of the events as he describes them. Makes it sound like he had an affair with her after Foster died.
No, because at that point she's his widow.
Right.
Which means it's not an affair.
He dumped her after he was dead.
They had an affair. Partner dies.
Left her because Foster then left died. Her. Felt guilty. I got it.
Thankfully, he's not an alcoholic during the movie.
No, that's actually the point, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the points. It's like instead he has replaced that with cocaine. Clearly,
no coffee and chocolate.
Whatever.
Coffee, chocolate, and lots of sugar.
As opposed to Lapsang Xiao Chong, which is available at Assamtees Chao Chao.
Which is what Dick Dick was drinking.
Which is what Dick Dick drinks.
Oh, it's so good. My favorite tea. Let's see. Yeah,
wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Who here agrees that Dick was the MVC in this movie?
No.
I think we have different votes all around. Do you like Durkin?
I vote for Durkin.
I like Durkin, but he's a main character. You can't make a main character the MVC.
But I can do whatever I want.
He's a supporting character.
He's in most of the movie.
I think he's a main character.
Billy Barty was in like 2 minutes when we started this.
Okay, that's just saying. That's legit.
But I think we have to rely on the most valuable character construct being something that makes sense in context, right?
Yeah.
And as far as the story here, he provided the most useful wisdom in the movie
by having a billion hobbies.
Yes.
Yes, like me.
What are you trying to say?
And fucking every night.
And fucking every night.
Every night. Me.
Which they felt like they had to mention like 6 times in the film.
Which made it one of the most consistent things in the entire movie.
That's true.
Dick
still
gets screwed every night. That's one of the few things we can walk away with.
I still think it should be the Dick Cop, not Dick Dick.
The Dick Cop.
Just the Dick. So
yeah, puzzle with.
The one thing we are all agreed on then is that we like Dick.
So, I mean, moving on. God, I'm in the wrong group. why do I do this to myself?
You chose the cast.
Anxiety. I had a very limited pool.
Deadpool.
Anxiety neurosis.
The doctors say you have anxiety neurosis to the point of being paranoid.
Doctors don't know shit.
How many weapons are you carrying besides this cannon?
An MP15.
What else?
A Glock 50.
And?
An A3 assault shotgun.
That's not paranoid. I don't know what the fuck is. I'm surprised you don't have a grenade launcher.
Couldn't get a permit.
This isn't funny!
I loved it when Dick giggled at that. That was great.
My favorite part of the movie is when Dick flips out.
Yeah, I've got it. I got it somewhere.
We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Which was also on the poster.
Oh,
they put a dick flipping out on the poster.
At the bottom of the poster, it said, he's going to need a bigger gun.
Need a bigger gun.
Okay.
Which was only said by Dick flipping out.
I don't know if I'm going to be able
to. I just got the context of that.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to release this show, guys.
It's R-rated. Just put the warning ahead of time. It's an R-rated movie.
I'm definitely going to have to put something at the top.
You realize now, I still think if you replace the monster with a were-dick dick, those cute little adorable creatures, that would have been a better movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you need some recovery time, ma'am?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. 10 feet tall.
Looks like an astrological symbol. It is a symbol for Scorpio. Inverted triangle inside a circle that's used in the occult. 2578, 2578. Don't know what that means. Has he ever done this before?
No.
I wonder if he stood on the bed to paint it.
If he did, he shouldn't be too hard to find.
Why?
He'd have to be 10 feet tall.
Which means he shouldn't have been too hard to find.
And he shouldn't have been able to hide in the couch.
Right.
Oh, good call.
I mean, after all, Dick Dick should be able to track him. After all, occult is one of his hobbies.
I keep all my 10-foot tall friends in couches.
How many 10-foot friends do you have?
No, don't.
I have a 7-foot one.
Moving on.
Okay, the eponymous and ever-present commentary on the thing.
You tell me you guys from Oxford don't eat breakfast?
Yeah, right after I run.
You what?
Run 5 miles every morning.
What's the matter? You don't get laid?
Yeah. Every night.
You get laid every night and you run 5 miles every morning?
Yeah. Except some days. My girlfriend and I stay in bed and, you know, fool around.
Durkin. That's disgusting.
How does he have time in his day?
I think he has learned how to use it very efficiently.
He's British.
And they have sex?
Every night.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
And run 5 miles every
except
morning.
For Sunday.
Definitely a British thing. Yeah.
I can't even imagine like running 5 miles every morning and having a million hobbies and being a police detective and fucking every night.
They are very, very efficient schedulers.
Does
he sleep?
I still have that wonderful thing. Did we end up getting that clip?
No.
Because... It's that weird scene when they come in.
Talking in the...
There's blood all over the kitchen. They find the girl in the bathroom, and she's like, "Yeah, I got here. There's blood in the kitchen. I decided to had to take a bath." And so she took a bath.
She touched it.
Yeah, she took a bath, and I'm like, "Wait, the creature was in their apartment, and for some reason, you felt safe to take off all your clothes and get in the bathtub. You belong in a horror movie, lady."
Right?
And that's after what happened to her the first time.
And then what threw me off there is after that was when she was doing the close, gratuitous romance scene in the middle of the film, which wasn't needed. And
I'm sure we'll hear all about that from Vanessa.
Right. And that's when I start hearing music and I'm like, I know this song.
Oh, that's everywhere, yeah.
I know this song. But that's when I heard it. And I heard that Knights in White Satin playing, and that completely pulled me out of the film.
Here's one place, right?
I think you have supernatural powers.
You read that in one of your books?
Yeah. Well, in The Black Mask. I collect them. It's one of my hobbies. Do you have any hobbies?
Not since I gave up drinking. You quit drinking. Good for you. What is it about you that reminds me of my mom?
Maybe because I'm so charming.
My mom was a lot of things. She was not charming.
I didn't realize how romantic this scene was on the first time.
Right? Knights in White Satin. Yes, I'm like...
And this was where you were talking about, kind of where you were talking about, because this was the section where they were interspersing between her in the shower and them at the restaurant.
That was the other... Yeah, and they started doing that too. So I started really getting pulled out because it was this song over and over again. Apparently, Knights in White Satin is in like 40 different movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's very hard out, but boy, they said, okay, we got a license for it. Do we want to spend any more money on music? No.
Justin okay. Hayward has made his fortune on the commercialization of that song. No doubt about it.
It's a beautiful song outside of any movie.
As far as the tub scene, though, she's like obsessively like scrubbing her hands. I have a feeling. Callback. Yeah.
Because she touched the heart.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that that's like part of a mental break.
Yeah. I don't understand. The
so he should have had sex with her right after a mental break? That seems like a bad idea.
I mean, I don't think they should be together at all, but that's a whole other thing.
And she also didn't have any bandages on the bite wound that
which was fully
just
healed.
Gotten.
Which was fully healed.
It Werewolves have very fast healing.
Oh, Lord.
Right?
This wasn't a werewolf movie, though. Just saying.
It wasn't a lot of things.
I think I actually think
it
you were all right.
A lot
and
of
that it was going to be a werewolf movie, and then somebody came out and said, "No, it can't be werewolves. That's not in the budget."
Werewolves in London? That's
in Venom is.
We're going to make this London. Leather thing that looks like aliens
and has
because
tentacles.
That made a lot
because
of movie.
Tentacles are cool.
Speaking of leather, what'd you say your one note for the movie was?
Oh, yeah, I was taking notes for the movie because I try to take notes for the movies, and I only got one note down, which was, nothing says post-apocalyptics like strippers wearing chains.
And leather. There was
and
a lot
leather.
Of leather.
That's legit, yeah. I was with you there. The fan service was fantastic. You had the strippers' boobs at the beginning of the movie. You had Kim Cattrall's boobs in the middle of the movie. Nothing about those shots that it was anything but fan service. It was just.
It wasn't even like good chains. It was like I'm gonna pull a truck out of the mud chains.
Right.
Like they could have at least done like pretty chains.
I missed
no, it
chains.
Was post-apocalyptic chain.
Yeah. Tu Wong Fu has that line. He's going on, if there's a snowstorm, he's going on my tires tonight.
Wow.
Yeah. I forgot about
that. Was
that.
A RuPaul line, but that was a great line.
No, here's the clip everybody's waiting for.
Did you get to see him? Wasn't that him? That was a fucking it. We couldn't get bigger guns. Take a deep breath. Relax. Bring your fucking gun! Bring the guns, right? That's where we're going to get big guns. Stop! Bring a very big fucking gun!
Definitely one of my favorite arcs this movie. Oh.
That was right after the mortuary, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was Durkin's transformation at that point. When he started feeding him chocolate and stuff and just kind of
giving him coffee.
Oh my God, he was amazing.
And I love the pseudo foreshadowing when they said, you know, I think you'll be a calming influence on him.
Oh, right. Right. I had missed that. That's good.
You know, the captain paired them up so that he would be a calming influence on Harley. And instead Harley turned
Harley
into
him.
Harley.
To be fair, Harley didn't do that. Satan
it was the,
did.
It was
Satan
the,
yeah. did it. Yeah, you're right. Satan did that.
The Scorpio demon.
It was Satan. They made it clear it was Satan.
BFGs.
Big fucking.
This was about the same time Doom came out. Mm-hmm. Right around that, 1992.
Yes.
There you go.
But Doom had to upstage everything because they had the big fucking gun 9000.
Right.
Well, now
I do feel. Like
they were in hell, whereas in this one, hell came here. It's a very different situation.
That's true.
Hell on Earth was the second Doom movie. That's very different.
And there's that thing game. Was barely Sorry. As dangerous as an imp. It couldn't even stand up to most of the monsters. In
that's
Doom.
True. That's true.
One of the things about this movie that kind of bugs me a little is that it was a 90s movie that felt like an 80s movie.
Very much. In fact, it felt like an early 80s movie and not a great example of the genre even at that.
And not helped by some of the visual effects.
The costuming was good for the most part.
Costume was good. Yes. I thought the creature design was interesting for what they decided they wanted. I thought, and the guy they got to do it, I can't remember. I looked it up.
There were two people involved.
Yeah, and it was a kind of big deal. But their execution, of course, was limited. They only had
so I thought they did great for what they did compared to some of the things in the movie.
And some of it was really reminiscent of the 80s slasher film look of what they did with some of that type of like with the claw and all that. Especially like the claws ripping through the did they do it through a couch at one point?
Through the couch, and that was what I made the comment of. It's like it's 10 foot tall, but it can hide in an ottoman.
Which reminded me of, you know, the Freddy Krueger claws coming through the fabric kind of thing.
But also
well, plus it did the shark thing through the train.
That's exactly what I was going to. Which yeah. That looked so fake,
slow too.
Shit, it looked like it was on a rotor, you know, like on a track, you know, like this hand sticking up, sparks coming off of it.
Slow.
You know, it looked like it was like one of those things. You know, remember those toys that you would like pull back and then they would like shoot forward, yeah. Like and throw sparks off with the little metal. Uh-huh. And it reminded me of that. Like somebody had done that and like stuck it through and then just. But you're right; it was going too slow.
Because the whole thing of this monster was that it was there and gone in a split second.
Well,
but
that was,
when it finally got around to chasing the main characters, it slowed down to a crawl and it put its hand on the top of his head.
That was awesome,
his
though.
Glasses off.
I loved that shot.
And
it was a well done shot.
I'm just like, but he should have been already dead.
Oh yeah. I'm not denying but that, at least.
He obviously didn't want to kill him. He wanted to draw it out for whatever reason. Or maybe he never intended to kill him. It's hard to say. He obviously was tormenting him. But that whole final sequence with the fight and the train and down
so
there.
So slow.
Yeah, but I think it takes slow to a whole new level when the thing takes so long to kill him that he's able to pull an Uno reverse card and rip its heart out instead with normal human fingers instead of big slicey hands.
Well, because they'd already shot so many holes into it that the body was perforated.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had shot him a bunch of times with a lot of guns.
That used to bug me. I actually got it this time when I was watching the movies. Oh, somebody put that hole there already. That's what that was.
Yeah, I hadn't.
Between the grenade that can clear a jungle and the 640 rounds a second.
Crazy. Minute. Cool 640 rounds a minute, but they are shotgun rounds, supposedly.
Okay,
they
so weren't doing 14 shotgun rounds a second.
Yeah. If there was a gun that actually did that, it would be my favorite gun, but there is no gun that does that.
Also would have destroyed enough of the support structure of the subway area that they would
have collapsed the whole. Yeah. But, you know, they were shooting for realism in this scene.
This is one of the few movies that we've watched that I think would have actually benefited from being longer and actually been able to explain more.
Yeah, actually, I would agree
enough,
with you.
I would agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but
as
I
well.
Think they were going for a noir feel. So,
they probably.
Failed.
You're
well.
I mean, they succeeded at the leaving things unexplained, so you never.
Yeah,
know exactly.
Exactly.
What happened.
They
succeeded
exactly.
At that part.
But it didn't feel like noir. It just felt like you were being like left four steps behind and you were never going to catch up because God only knows what's going on in this.
It felt like an Agatha Christie film.
Well, they don't explain actually what's going on until the end anyway.
I mean, they didn't explain what was going on at the end of this one.
Wait, Agatha Christie
no, that's
was
true.
The monster? I'm
but confused. That's a monster movie trope, too. It's like they don't have to. And even the bubbles at the very end that make you think, well, they didn't
well,
really
that's what,
kill it. You know?
If it had made any money, there would have been the second split right. Second.
But they used to, in like the 80s, they would end horror movies like that even if they had no expectation or plans to do a sequel.
Just,
so just that whole...
Leave you unsettled.
Yeah, yeah. That
maybe,
little thing
maybe,
at the end.
Maybe.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you get Gremlins 2.
Was it really
too.
Dead?
See, no, that's not how you get Gremlins 2. Gremlins 2 was a comedy. It was a very different situation.
I'm still waiting for Bigger Shop of Horrors.
Bigger Shop? That's pretty good.
Wait, that's a thing?
I hope not.
It is in my head.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Just checking.
Headcanon, just checking.
At the end of the film, there were little Audreys in front of a little greenhouse.
Again, homage to the same thing. And it's like, well, did you really win? You know. Chaos.
It wasn't chaos. I don't believe this shit.
He's eating human hearts, for Christ's sake.
How do you know?
We had lunch with him.
Cannibals ate the hearts of their enemies to gain possession of their souls. It obviously believes that if it eats its victims' hearts, it not only gains their power... and their DNA. It also gains their souls.
Are you telling me there's something running around loose in this city, ripping the hearts out of people and eating them so they can take their souls back to hell?
Looks that way.
How did they get the souls part? I think I lost something because
cannibals.
They... Cannibals. Yes, but how do they know what this thing's reasoning is? It could be a cannibal's reason, and we can document that and scientifically explain okay. This, but this is not one of those tribes.
Is that really what you're picking up on?
It's yes. 2021. Do people need reasons to come to conclusions?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I mean, I
Vanessa needs reasons.
I can't count the number of times that Dr. Reed has pulled something completely from halfway across the globe and said, well... In historical, we know that this tribe did this because of this reason. So that's obviously what's going on here. And then they're right. It's
yes,
like a thing. It's its own thing.
But they are complaining. comparing something that they later call like the effective Christian Satan to a cannibal tribe.
But where do you think the cannibals got it?
Not from Christianity.
No, from Satan.
And that which is not Christian is Satan.
Is Satan. What is not Christian is blamed on Satan.
That's annoying.
Not a personal belief. It's a
that is annoying thing. That's accurate.
That's an accurate statement. If it's not Christian, it's Satan.
I get that, but it's annoying that that's true.
I've been blamed on Satan many times.
But has Satan been blamed on you?
Not lately. Harley.
The bite on her shoulder, it means she's promised to it. It's got her DNA too.
Yeah. Harley.
Harley. I'm working with a guy called Harley.
You think that's funny? What's so great about Dick Durk? Go see the car.
I love the laugh there. And more Nights of White Satin. One more clip of that, and I may have to pay royalties on the show.
Right.
It's still covered under fair use.
I mean, the thing about Dick, though, is the animals are adorable. I send pictures of those to a lot of people.
Dick-dicks?
Yeah, I send a lot of Dick-dicks.
They're relatives of antelopes.
They're cute. Have you ever looked up a Dick?
Yes. Carefully.
Make sure it's DIK-DIK, because if you get a C in there, you're not going to like what you get. Or you will. I don't judge.
Appreciate you. And just because I had to, at the end.
The bubble.
Once again, the Black Mask power prevails over evil. Yes, Detective Dick Durkin and his psychic sidekick Harley Stone can relax for a moment before they are called forth once more to do battle with the forces of darkness.
Durkin! Shut up!
Oh, jazz at the end.
That was the other song.
You were fucking right.
The only other song.
I can't believe it. I completely missed it, but you were fucking right. Dick is the main character. Harley is his sidekick.
Yeah, hello.
I guess we have to go with Boss's Fight.
Score.
Man, I don't know, guys.
I will cede to Vanessa after that piece of evidence.
How about first we have this discussion? Thumbs up, thumbs down. What you got for us, Rich?
All right. Starting on the downside, I'm going to start by reminding people I love low budget films. I love B movie science fiction. If you can see the strings on the spaceship, I'm in. Let's go. I'm having a good time if that's what I know I'm watching. If the string covers half the ship, that's even better. I'm fine with that. But right from the get-go, I was thrown off on this movie, probably because I was expecting something better, given the time period and the name. But what really got me, just right from the get-go, the large shots of the Thames Rivers with that normal levels of water, and the floodgates wide open. So instead of flooding, we get inches of water in the movie. On the plus side, it lowers expectations for the rest of the movie. So I guess it put me in an okay spot to go. I did enjoy the story progression. It kept feeding bits slowly to get to what's going on, but had enough variables to keep me guessing. Then again, I'm assuming that's because they at no point knew what the hell was going on when they were writing it either.
Agreed.
The movie isn't really my style. It had potential to go into interests of mine, but then went another way many times. For what it is, I found it watchable, and I'm going to probably surprisingly give it a 3.5 star.
Nice. Would you say that you could have seen it going off a different direction several times? Is that like every time they kind of change the entire like movie to a new movie, and then you're like, oh, this is where they go? Nope, not that either.
And then I'm like, swear it's Venom. Swear I watched a Venom movie that didn't pay a license.
Yeah.
I have to point out that when you said that you were surprisingly giving it 3.5 stars, you did so as if you yourself were in fact surprised.
Well, I talk a lot of trash on this movie.
Okay. So you were legitimately surprised that you were giving it 3.5 stars.
I don't find it unwatchable. It's not a bad movie in my opinion. That's why I'm giving it 3.5 stars. But if you ask me, I'm going to tell you it was a horrible movie.
No reason to brag the man about it. He's got his shit figured out.
Moving on.
Vanessa?
Okay, so we're going to start with thumbs down because it's a lot. Because everyone knows it's coming. The romance was bad. It made no sense at all at any point, anywhere in the movie. Because they started out explaining the romance by they were cheating and they dumped each other. And then she just randomly pops up and, hey, look, there's a romance in the movie. What the fuck? Who wrote this shit?
Didn't we cover that? It was a 7-year-old.
Gary Scott Thompson. Apparently he's 10.
Yeah. Jeez. And for some reason, forced love story. Because
with $7 million.
Why the hell not?
Well, three names is a serial killer, right?
Oh, dude, I didn't think of that. Sorry, go ahead.
You're fine.
You're did fine. You say how many stars? I'm sorry.
No, not yet. No,
she's still working. I blacked out for a second.
She's You're still working.
Thumbs down. I'm sorry.
She hasn't even gotten to the local theoretical good stuff
To be
yet.
Fair, I wasn't expecting a thumbs up.
My second thumbs down?
He's got a lot of thumbs.
Was that... They're like it was two different movies. For the first half of it, I was like, okay, crime noir, we're hunting a serial killer. I'm on board. Then all of a sudden, monster movie. Where was the switch that we flipped here? Like,
I liked that part.
Who wrote this?
I liked that part.
Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that there weren't a bunch of switches being flipped in my mind, like what Richard was describing, because that would have broken me. I would have absolutely atrociously hated this movie. There was one switch about a half hour before the end. We went from crime noir to monster hunting.
Okay.
Now, it's still a thumbs down because that was a massive switch and it completely obliterated my immersion for like 10 minutes.
And that is a sin.
Yeah. That being said, thumbs up. It was a well-designed movie. I liked the costumes. I liked the feel.
Okay, for a moment there, I had to wonder what sense you were using the word design in, but then you explained it. So
yeah.
Okay. We're okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The writing was bad, but I didn't want to go into that. I couldn't. Anyways, overall, like, my star rating, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to go out of my way to see it again. 2.
2 stars. Okay.
I mean, there was no Nazis on the moon, but, you know.
Oh, God, don't get me started.
I think she blocked that one out.
I did. All of it.
Jason?
Bad.
What do you think?
Okay. Thumbs down. So many things.
I know, right?
I did not like the switch between noir and monster film at all. But then again, I knew it was a monster film going in because I saw the freaking poster, which has the 10-foot-tall monster standing directly behind Rutger Hauer saying, "We need bigger guns."
I need to look up this poster.
Way to spoil the surprise, guys.
It's the cover on the IMDb page if you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I know where I'm going.
It's the screenshot. And that bugged me because the very beginning of the movie, either they're stupid or they don't know what they're doing. And when I saw the scars, I'm like, there's no way they didn't know this thing wasn't human from the get-go.
Of course. There were two of them.
No, I didn't think about it. Yeah.
And one of them was his ex-partner.
And one of them was slow and one of them was fast?
He was referring to the Blade Runner line. There's two of them. Then we're stupid and we're going to die. It's only two of us. Then we're stupid and we're going to die.
Okay.
Daryl Hannah said it. I swear to I will show you one day. You get into Blade Runner, you find the scene where it says it. And we watched this on VHS, a kid and I back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and listened to that line, I think, 4 or 5 times before we were dead certain that's what she said. Said, there's only two of us, because they're talking about the replicants getting kind of, you know, if you haven't seen Blade Runner, you don't want to talk about getting kind of eliminated, right? So it's but now there's only two of us. Then we're stupid and we're going to die, was the line. Our entire life now, that has been a mantra. There's just no way around it.
So that's, I've now seen the poster, and yeah, their marketing department needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we only made $5 million.
So they need to be fired.
So I wanted to see either a monster movie from the get-go, or I would have liked to see it finish as the noir cop film that it started as. That was terribly troubling to me. I will say that it had a fair amount of infrasound. Not so much that I could not watch the film, but it did amp the tension up successfully for me, and it did it a number of times, specifically during the heartbeat scenes.
Heartbeat sequences, yeah.
But it was not overbearing. Cool. It was not to the point that I could not watch the film, you know, like it wasn't The Shining. The Shining, I literally got 20 minutes into and had to walk out. The Quiet Place 2, I literally had to walk out after 10 minutes because the infrasound was so strong.
Which is weird because they didn't do that in the first
one. They did not do it in the first one, and it really bugged me.
Yeah.
It really bugged me that it was there in the second because I wanted to watch the second movie, and I can't. But it was there. It successfully ramped tension, although I think if you have to play on that to ramp tension, you're doing something wrong with your script. So that, to me, is a flaw. Pluses. I like noir cop films. I enjoy them. And so the first three-fourths of the movie, I kind of enjoyed for what it was, except for the fact that I kept expecting it to be a monster movie, and it wasn't. So I was angry at the movie for not being what it was supposed to be. And I'm like, gah. And so I have mixed feelings about this. So I had to go to my list. I had to look at past episodes.
Okay.
And I said, is it better than Odd Thomas?
Oh, here we go.
No, it ain't better than Odd Thomas.
Of course not. Why'd you start there?
Because that was one of my higher rated movies. It was a 4. Completeness.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't a 5.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm just saying,
was it better than Terminator?
Euphoria, and I think that you might have had the low vote on Odd Thomas. It was kind of the reason I reacted that way.
Was it better than Terminator? Yes, it was better than Terminator, so it's not a 0.
I see where you go with this.
Was it better than the Boondock Saints? No, it wasn't better than the Boondock Saints. I'm going down notch by notch.
And that's fine, actually. We got plenty of time left in the show.
So it wasn't a 3.
So it wasn't a 3.5. Was it better than Stardust? No, it wasn't better than Stardust.
You didn't give Stardust a very good rating.
I did not give Stardust a very good review. So that puts us, if it wasn't better than Stardust, but it was better than the Terminator, we're at a 1. We are at a 1-star film.
Wow.
Just because it frustrated me so much. It was painful to watch because I knew what I wanted it to be and I knew what it was, and it was neither of those things.
Funny thing, I had seen this movie numerous times over the years and I enjoy it. I remember as I start watching this movie last night when I'm pulling clips that, I mean, I know what kind of movie it is from the start, obviously. I already know the movie pretty well. And all of the indications of the monster movie are there from the very beginning. I think the script had the foreshadowing built in. I don't think it was trying to pretend to be something else except for the character's sake. And even then, it seemed to me from the beginning, again, knowing this on the way in, that Harley Stone knew better the whole time. And that he was living in a world of denial, trying to come to terms with it, trying to convince himself that it was real or wasn't real or whatever. That this thing that he thought he had come, that had done this to him, you know, that he had probably already determined couldn't possibly be human, but there isn't a such thing as not a human, right?
Yeah, I just...
Are you trying to impart deep foreshadowing and psychological tones into this movie?
The movie had a lot of psychological applications in the way the characters were built. I have a very strong interest in that. I look at the deconstruction of the characters in a very different way. I'm not saying it was perfect or anything, but I did appreciate that stuff. And it felt like the characters at least were intended to have a level of depth. And even the dialogue even supports that. They did a lot of digging. I mean, for no real payoff, but they did a lot of digging, you know, except for cheap jokes, which cheap jokes are fine.
If I give it a higher score than that, I'm doing a disservice to other movies we've already done.
I see where you're coming from because of the way you jotted, you know, the way you narrowed it down. But I don't agree necessarily because I think that every episode we can take on its own merits and it's going to hit you different for a lot of different reasons.
That is true.
You don't have to distill things by some sort of common, you know, I want to make sure I'm consistent with everything.
I have not been consistent. I will fully admit that.
It's possible that if you watched one of the movies we'd already done on a different day in a different mood, you'd give it a different rating.
We have to be obviously aware of that.
That's fair. There have been times where I've rewatched a movie that's on the list and was like, but maybe I was a little harsh.
But ultimately, if you didn't enjoy it, 1 star is obviously an appropriate response.
It could have gone to 2, but it was just, I can't possibly recommend this to anybody.
Yeah, and that's where it is. If you would recommend people don't go see it, 1 is exactly where you should sit.
Don't watch this movie if you haven't. There's no need. There's really not. Go watch Waterworld. Watch a real Flood movie.
Watch Waterworld or Venom or watch them back to back. You cover your bases.
Kid, what do you got?
Hi. Okay. Thumbs down. And this was pretty huge for me.
This is set in London, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never been to London. I've only known a few people who have been to London or were from London. Only one person in my life that I would consider a friend and knew well was actually British, wasn't from London. So I cannot profess to be in any way an expert or even reasonably well-informed about anything to do with London. That being said, I can't think of a single thing in this entire movie that made me feel like I was supposed to be in London. I mean, you had some people talking with the accent. You get that in a lot of movies that aren't in London.
Actually, you had pretty much everybody. Rutger Hauer was the only American, and Kim Cattrall, I guess, the only American-sounding people in the movie.
For the most, yeah, for the most part.
Her accent kind of varied, though.
And what's his name, the rat catcher.
But all of that being said, and accepting the fact that I'm pretty sure our titular character, Harley, was in fact American, his aggressive alpha attitude bad cop thing that he was pulling this entire movie was so ridiculously over the top that I couldn't really feel that it would legitimately work in an American institution. And everything I know about London leads me to believe that they would tolerate that shit about one-tenth as much as an American institution would. So I can't see him being even remotely, reasonably, realistically in the position he's in and behaving the way he's doing and getting away with it in this movie at all.
The line was, I hear he's the best. Yeah, he is. Like, I don't understand what he's supposed to be the best at, but apparently he is. And this is, of course, 2008 post-apocalyptic underwater London. It's a very different situation.
Yeah, sure. And I'll grant that.
1 inch.
But I still can't buy it. And that was my major disconnect with this movie. I mean, I have seen a lot of the aggressive alpha bad cop main character hero type movies, right? We all know the kind of movies what I'm talking about. And none of them that I can remember went so far out of their way to try and make their main character a complete dick as this movie did. And he wasn't even the one named Dick. He is just unbelievably overly aggressive throughout the entire first half of the movie. And I get it. It's because he's mentally damaged. But my point isn't that he acts that way. My point is that he gets away with it, and I can't buy it. I can't. I don't.
Did anybody get a feel for how long ago the thing with Foster was supposed to have happened?
3 years.
3 years. 3 years. They said that. Yes.
So I also like the part where he's worked in every, like, hellhole bad place in the world or whatever.
And been fired from all of them.
And been fired from all of them.
But they tolerate him here.
For 3 years. Yeah. At least.
In 3 years.
But I mean, and his history is here. The bad thing is here. Maybe he came back here, I guess. There's a through line in that that kind of messes with me too in terms of the backstory.
It's troubling, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Small quibble.
That is my major main thumbs up. I'm not going to get into my smaller details except for one that I'll touch on briefly in a moment. Not yet. Okay, moving on to that. Thumbs up. I thoroughly loved this movie. I enjoyed it so much. I didn't actually go over the top into literal out loud gibbering until the breakdown with the big guns that we talked on. That scene just tickled my heartstrings to the point that I was literally bouncing around and gibbering and making little noises. I do that. I have very few good things that I can specifically pull out and say about this movie because we've kind of been over that by now. There aren't a lot of those. But somehow the overall mishmash construction just left me in a place where I was very much enjoying the movie. The one major side of that being my thumbs down, the just way over the top bad copness. That was the only thing that really pulled me out of the movie for the entire movie. And it eventually became either just background noise or so far out of focus that it didn't matter anymore. And from that point forward, I was all in. And I caught all the things that we talked about, you know, the swap between different stuff in the movie, the inconsistentness, all of that. But unlike a lot of movies where that really pulls me out of my immersion, it didn't here. And I can't explain why, other than the fact that I was just invested in enjoying the movie, which I did. And I would have been prepared to give this movie 4.5 stars, but I can't because there was a singular scene that literally made me had to look away from the screen. There's a point in his apartment where he picks up a cup of coffee, stale coffee, with dead cigarettes in it, looks at it, and takes a drink. Now, having at one point in my life accidentally, without looking, taken a drink of stale coffee with cigarettes put out in it, it almost made me puke. And the fact that he looked at it and did it on purpose made me want him to die. And he didn't, so I'm taking off 0.5 star for that scene. It's a 4-star movie.
That's legit.
I, too, have had that accidental experience, and I, too, wanted to vomit in that moment.
Yeah.
We can imagine.
He did it on purpose!
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm going to say 4 stars for me, Rich. I enjoy the hell out of this, but I enjoyed the hell out of it when I was younger for a reason. I was younger, and I did like that.
And that brings it to a 3-star movie overall. So kind of in that zone where our action movies that just really aren't great is at.
Can we legitimately call that fair to Midland?
That is a fair to Midland. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that score.
It's a good movie, but we're not going to say watch it.
That's fair to Midland. That's fair. And to Midland. I can't not say that. Now, that's awful. Thanks. Appreciate you.
I feel so good about myself now.
You should. Okay, so we're going to be off next week. And when we come back after TsunamiCon, what's our next film?
The Prophecy.
The Prophecy with Christopher Walken. Looking forward to it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us once again. If you'd like to drop us a line, feedback at prismatictsunami.com is the best way to do that. Be sure to watch the next movie and join us for the next show. For Richard, for Vanessa, for Jason, for the kid, I want each and every one of you to have a fantastic week. Check out TsunamiCon if you want to play some games with us next week. And TsunamiCon.org is the place to go.
I want bigger guns.
Exercise.
I was going to say work out more.